Hello. Hi. Should we start? Okay. So we will be talking about cognitive cities. You might know the same topic or different kind of topics with terms like smart cities, cognitive cities. This is our term. There is central cities. Basically, it's a term we coined to collect all the ideas we have concerning cities under one label for us, and there is a blog.
That's the thing we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
It's like, as you can see, like two people talking to you today.
Can you use the microphone?
Sure.
No problem.
Does this work? Okay. And this works too?
Yes.
Sure, good.
I hope this works, okay. Oh, this is really loud. So as you can see, we are two people having this talk today with you. And we first want to talk with you about who we are and our motivations to start with a topic like cognitive cities. And then we want to show you some examples of what we are working on and how is the involvement within Germany about cognitive cities as also within the United States.
Right. Okay. We are?
As you can see, that's me. I'm Axel, and I'm not, on a daily basis, I'm not working for this topic, cognitive cities. I'm working for an advertisement agency, so that's a little bit unusual for this conference, I think. But I have a strong technical background. I'm also a member of the CCC. Since a longer time, and you can find me on this URL, binaryisdev.de, and also on Twitter.
And that's me. I'm also not a hacker or an basically, I'm working for a communications agency as a trend scout and a web strategist. So this topic is not something that we're doing on a daily basis, but it's highly connected with what we do because of the internet stuff. We are consulting, and that's how we got to this project, Cognitive Cities. It's the blog, the same name. We are five people who are collecting ideas, interesting stuff, blog posts, videos, everything concerning technology, cities, environment, and gardening also. So there is a lot of stuff up there. Would be great if you would visit us and put up some comments. We would like new ideas. And also, we've been doing, up until now, I hope we will get some good news tomorrow. That's a webcomic we suggested to a commission that will hopefully give us some space to develop it further. A webcomic that will talk about possible future technology in cities. For example, like streetlights that can suggest where's the next parking space, or small ideas that will enable us to work better in cities and make cities more livable. We're hoping to get some money and space to develop it further.
The story behind is that we wanted to give an opportunity to show people who are not familiar with smart cities, for example, an easy way to understand the thematics by doing a comic strip for an iPhone or iPad, which explains certain things about it.
Yeah, so why are we doing this? And like every good presentation, we have some quotes here. And the quotes, the first one, you probably everybody knows that one from William Gibson, the future is already here, it's just not evenly distributed. And we are very keen to distribute or help to distribute future more evenly by collecting these ideas and developing projects like our blog or this webcomic. Another quote is from Mark Weiser. It's about ubiquitous computing. I think the most stunning thing about this quote is that it's been made in 1996. And now we are actually coming close to reach something like similar to ubiquitous computing. Everybody has more than one device that's actually a computational device, and it's very interesting to see how this will change the environment in cities and how it will make us, how we can actually transform cities with technology. And the third quote is from Mark Zerman, who is the CEO of the Mozilla Foundation. And he's also an activist in Toronto and helped Toronto as the city to transform themselves. And actually, they that's a presentation that he made a couple of years ago with this term. And they actually took it, and now you can see the website from Toronto about open data that actually telling that Toronto is a city that will think like the web and will transform itself.
So the big picture.
Yeah.
I don't know if any one of you just knows now what cognitive cities or smart cities are actually. That's the thing we want to talk with you about today, and we have some examples because it's a really huge topic. Where you can talk about, you can talk about housing, you can talk about cities itself, you can talk about clothes, which all get smart in the future, which all get connected. And we brought you some examples to explain what actually is cognitive cities.
Right. So we'll start with a bit history lesson. First one.
So when we talk about smart houses, for example, it's not really something new, that's for sure, because people like Buckminster Fuller already had in the 1920s a vision about a smart house, about a house which is built with a really low ecological and energy dependent system. So he built a house called Dimension House. And the thing about it was that it was like 1920, what you see here. And you cannot see it because of the lights that good. There's a comparison between a regular house at that time and the Dimension House. And you can see this is a cradle. And the normal houses are a lot more material, so it's a lot more weight on that. And the Dimension House is really lightweight. And when you compare it, it was like really outstanding for that time. And you had the vision to Zeppelin. There was a Zeppelin who brought the house, who first dropped a bomb, you can see here, and then the Zeppelin put the house in there. That was his vision that he had at that time. So he was really a visionary. And I think you can see it better here. Can we turn off the lights or? Okay. Anyway, I think you can barely see it, at least. And there were a lot of other people already talking about smart housing and how buildings will evolve, like Superstudio. Superstudio was an Italian company or a set of people who had the vision to build those models for total urbanization. Already in 1969, they just wanted to build houses on top of a city or on a cliff. And they later on, some of the same people had a vision in the 70s to build a walking city already. So they said everyone in the world, every human should live in a walking city, and the city is just walking around across the world.
Archigram is actually a very fascinating group because a lot of them, of the stuff they did back then was very connected to computational devices, and they also told that in the 70s that cities will in the future need smart grids, smart environments that will help them evolve further. So in the 70s, it's kind of very out there.
So the question is that we had when we started with that topic is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the now, which is sometimes already the past, as you could have seen it now with the those cities we showed before, because it was already a vision at least about 30 or 40 years ago? Or are we talking about the future, because all the stuff we are talking about today is science fiction, or can you get it also right now? So that's a big question. How far are we away from the vision of smart cities or cognitive cities?
Yeah, and there's one important thing about that, because basically every projection is telling that by 2050, 75% of all human population will live in a city or an urban environment. So there's definitely a necessity to develop something that will work better than every system that we are having right now, because cities currently aren't prepared to sustain that much population in their environments. So yeah, we have brought some examples that hopefully will show how broad this perspective or the ideas and projects that are currently being developed or thought of. The first one is Ping, and that's by a designer. It's a fictional project that should build up ideas in people and develop needs how to interact with the net, with the web, through the closing. And obviously, wearable technology isn't new stuff, but the different thing about Ping is that it's not technology that is attached to the clothing, but actually new material that will help people by wearing interacting with their Facebook account in this case. So you can actually post stuff through the movement of your body, because the material understands what it should be doing. It's an interesting project, but it's probably not a near future project that will be.
I brought a magazine with me to show you that wearables are not really new, because I still found this issue of Mondo magazine, which is, I think, from the 90s. About cyberspace, but it was a cyberspace magazine, and they had wearables already in that magazine. So we were really laughing about it, because right now it's getting a topic again. Maybe it's working. Now, that's a big question. We don't know.
Yeah. So there's a huge... it's basically a fashion magazine with technology that's up there. It's a very interesting project. You should look it up. Another thing that we are obviously talking about is how houses will develop and how we will manage houses. And one guy from IBM, he's their master. His title is Master Developer, and he's from UK. And what he did is his house is tweeting everything that consumes energy. So if somebody rings the bell on the door, it put up the new consumption level of the house on Twitter. I think it's kind of interesting, because he managed to do this with smart sensors in his house, and it's kind of easy. Well, he tells that. But it's an interesting way to show us how consumption of energy is working, and how we actually need to adjust those topics.
I think, wait a second, if you look up the Twitter account, I think it's funny, because he protected his tweets, so he doesn't want anyone to see what his house is tweeting right now.
A year back it was open. I think something changed. Maybe he bought himself new computers and the consumption did rise. Another thing is Peshubi. Peshubi is not something actually that is only for houses. It's a project that stores and collects data and helps to analyze it in real time, collecting from sensors like smart grids, different environment sensors, basically everything that can help urban planners, architects, to develop new methods to build stuff and adjust a few things. And there is something they did a few weeks back. It's should be oh yeah, okay, it's playing. So they connected Pastrubi data to Google SketchUp, which is a kind of CAD modeling tool. And the idea is that through this data, architects can build houses and different buildings and actually see how their models will interact with the energy consumption and everything else. So it's a live feedback that they're getting and can adjust through the through this feedback their models and their projects.
Yeah, another example, because when we were talking about houses before, we will now leave the houses, and that's an example from more or less classical media. It's what Jung von Matt did. They built a city light, and it's like a regular city light. You're sitting at a bus station, and you're watching at it, and it's from Amnesty International. And the thing is, when you turn your head, there's a camera within the city light, and they will recognize that you're not looking at it, and it changes to that. And that's how the city reacts on you. And I think it's a really good example on how you can use those things in a public space to get attention.
Another project is by the Graffiti Lab. It's the Graffiti Markup language. Probably somebody, some people know about that already. It's a remarkable thing, actually, because there is a tagline, today's technology for vandals of tomorrow, or something like that. And the idea is to digitalize graffitis, actually. We brought a great video. Also, there is some. And they've been doing different projects. And the interesting thing is how art and technology comes together in this one, and finding new ways to interact with the city. And that's an eye tracking tool they've built, because one of their artists had an accident and he was bound to his bed, but they wanted to give him the ability to still make graffitis. So they built a tool that will track his eyes and instantly project his graffitis onto houses anywhere else. Of course, there's an iPhone app. And everything is tracked on this page, which is actually kind of cool, because graffiti weren't measurable up until now. Now people can actually take graffitis from artists and interact with them in a new way. It's an XML code. Thank you. that's one of the actually more interesting augmented reality applications, because most of them are kind of information based and not very helpful, but that's actually a game that works and kind of it's kind of fun. It's not our project. Yeah.
I think this is another project which gets a lot farther than the other stuff we showed before. It's called Urban Defender, and it's more or less on a science context, so it's not really finished yet, but people are really working hard on it to get it on a mass market. I think you should just show the video.
Yeah.
Difficult to explain.
It started out with three students in Swiss somewhere, I'm not sure where, and so they concentrated on gangs as a part of a city.
So it also works more like an alternate reality game where people have to walk through the city and play a little game.
Yeah. So the guys are kind of melodramatic, so the video is kind of very pushy. And the interesting thing is they used Arduino components to build this this ball that will track movement, or better yet, their tagging of buildings, and collects the data to upload it to a project, to a server, and that the server collects basically the score or who owns which building and which part of the city. So by running around and marking those buildings, they're getting their points. Probably not going to be a mainstream thing, but it's a nice idea. Yeah, so they're running around and collecting stuff. It's a nice project, and it will probably end up as an application with on the iPhone or Android. It's kind of it's a combination out of it, but you need something another tracking device, because GPS is not enough to actually make this possible. So that's where the Arduino part is coming into play, because they need to have the ability to track it on this basis. Another project is something that HP tested. The idea was to develop a product that would be possible with today's technology, but they didn't bring it on the market. It's an augmented reality device and game, and the idea is that the player is in a kind of fantasy world and looking through this device on the environment in the city, and is playing this game with other players. So it's multiplayer based, and there are some neat stuff to see. There's a big ball, Indiana Jones-like. Not sure if many parents would allow that actually to happen on the streets, but it's very interesting to think about it, because it's really a technology that can be built today. And with every fantasy story, there's always a princess. And there's that. Yeah, so from public spaces to urban environments, which brings us back to what Mark Zerman taught us and the idea of building a city that thinks like the web is something that a lot of people are working on. The Starlab is a project that is funded by different companies, but also by the EU. And there's a lot of talk like building an operating system that works for the city. And different companies are engaged in this area also. For example, IBM is putting up a lot of money in this topic of smart cities. I think it's a trademark by them or something. And they're developing different projects, different scientific projects, but also a game like this one that will be playable and pretty soon. It's basically SimCity for everybody else to adjust and make real adjustments to the city right now.
By the way, the CEO of IBM just announced that they call it smarter cities is one of their main topics for the next year. They're going to hire about 300 people in Ireland who are just going to work on that topic. So it's quite huge for them.
Another big player in this area is Cisco. So it's the infrastructure business is very, very important for them. But that's the thing is, it's not only a game, but actually something that is happening right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of cities which try to open or give their data to the community or to the people. One of the most active cities is actually Vancouver, who give their population about a certain data sets which you can use where you can put the data on maps and stuff like that. But it's not only Vancouver, it's you can find on Open Muni a couple of cities, mainly in the United States or in Canada. It's only London, I think, listed within Europe, which are really active in opening their data for the people. And you can find a lot of data sets on this site.
And one last project that we wanted to show is, it's a framework that will actually help people interact with their environment. It's EU-funded, and it's open source protocol that will help companies engage in the interaction with practically everything that is happening inside the transportation system. One of the main topics is, one of the main problems for future cities is actually transportation. How will we solve environmental issues, but also infrastructure issues if cities are starting to grow at such fast pace? And a lot of companies are invested in this. For example, Daimler developed a project that is called Car2Go. It's a car sharing project. It's now being tested in Austin and Ulm, and basically you can pick up a card for Car2Go, and in the city everywhere there are smarts, the cars standing around. You can just go in, use it kind of like the bikes from Deutsche Bahn, so you can grab a car, drive around, and leave it somewhere. And the idea is to develop a platform that will actually help us through smartphones to pick up the right transportational device for the right project. So you will give the information into a smartphone or mobile device, whatever it will be called, and it will tell you, okay, pick up the car, drive for 5 kilometers, get off the car, pick up a bike for next 500 meters, and then take the bus for the last part, or something like that. So that's what this project is about.
So one last thing. We just wanted to announce that we are, with a couple of people, we are in the planning phase of doing a conference on cognitive cities later this year. And in advance, it will be held in Cologne. There was a discussion before to do it in another big city in Germany, but we managed to get it to Cologne. And whoever is interested can have a look at cognitivecities.com, and you will get informed within the next couple of days about the details, about the speakers and stuff like that.
So, it's time for some questions. Oh. Should. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for a very interesting presentation. Thought it was very inspiring, but still I'm very kind of skeptical. I mean, when I hear that there are companies like Cisco involved in planning these cognitive cities, then I'm kind of fear that the actual situation will be that citizens will not be empowered by these cognitive cities, but lose even more influence over the cities that they are inhabiting than they are now. So I would like to ask you, how do you think this will going to be, and what citizens could do to seize more power over their cities?
Well, I think one major part is the internet made us more powerful as citizens. It gave us the control and the ability to communicate our needs. And one major part would be to ensure that those cognitive cities, smart cities, whatever they will be called, will work on open standards. And the thing is, we're on a good way, I think, because Toronto, Vancouver, all those cities in the U.S., they're opening up all their data, they're using open good licensing like GPL or Creative Commons to ensure that the data is not owned by companies, but by the citizens of the city. So, yeah, that's. There is work in this area, but you're right, because cities like, there's a project Cisco is working on in South Korea. It's called New Sondogo. It's basically a metropolis. They're built from scratch with another company and an investment bank that put up a lot of money to build up a completely new metropolis. And it's built completely with Cisco infrastructure. And on top of that, they will sell consumer products to the citizens of the city that will basically only work with Cisco components. So it's a proprietary city, which is kind of basically the dream of Steve Jobs, I think. So it's definitely a problem, but I think there's definitely enough counterweight in the open movement to ensure that it will not be as severe as we might think.
I have like two questions, I guess. The first one is, you mentioned a lot of initiatives and projects that are worked on all over the world, but as long as I gather that, you didn't mention what you are involved in. and that would be interesting, I think. And the second one is, okay, you, the whole presentation started with like, we will need the smart cities because the future is that the population is moving to the cities, the tendency, and the cities in their actual form are not capable of receiving all those people. But actually, a part of transportation and the whole transportation project, I didn't really see that the whole things that were presented were helping in any way, like receiving more population. They were like fun or probably interesting from the arts point of view or something, but not really helping in coping with more population, I guess, and organizing it in a way.
We I can answer like those two questions with one answer, I think, because if you can show the comic again that we are working on, like how it can help people to get open data and getting a smarter city. And for example, we built a comic strip with an explanation for a person who is riding a bicycle. And you can give advice for the bicycle if there's a traffic jam or something like that up front, or if there's danger, you can help people to get easier through the city. And if there are more people in the city, or if it gets like overpopulated or stuff like that, all those technology can help those people actually. And that's what we are working on. We want to show people the advantages of getting a smarter city.
And I think those supposedly fun projects are a good way to actually make people think differently about cities. So you can get from one point to another by just changing it top down. So people need to be aware of what technology is capable of today and how they can interact with the city. And part of it being playing virtual golf on their iPhone, because they will now know, okay, I can actually interact with the city on a different level. There is this information level on my smartphone that will help me interact with the city. And it's not only for games, but you can surely see how people can make statements and political statements or different statements of all kinds as an interaction device with the city. And there will be more information in augmented realities in the near future.
There's also a really controversial example of from Dan Hill, who put numbers above the house of the usage from the heater and stuff like that. So everyone in the neighborhood sees if you are wasting energy and stuff like that. So there's something like positive peer pressure. And as I said, it's really controversial, but it could be a possibility to help a city.
Did we answer your question, or? Okay. Yeah, okay. Any other questions? Okay, well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.